Lorain native and Columbus Blue Jackets insider Jeff Svoboda to help us do that. Jeff, as always, we appreciate the time. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's good to be back. I would say, what have you guys been talking about else in hockey? I mean, what's going on in the world? Obviously things are all, all sports here kind of hit the pause button, I guess you could say. So, yeah, it's good to actually have something to kind of talk about here.
Well, let's get right into it because, you know, the NHL a couple of days ago mentioned that whenever they do return to play, they are going to expand the playoff field and ditch the remainder of the regular season. So how exactly is that going to affect the Blue Jackets?
Well, it means the Blue Jackets now have something to look forward to, actual games. As you mentioned, when they come back, and we still are not sure exactly when that will be, or frankly, if that will happen. I mean, obviously, the hope is things will continue trending the right direction with everything regarding the coronavirus, and we will be able to get back and get some sports back here. But if things change for the negative in the world, as far as that goes, then, the players have kind of said their safety is the number one thing. So they will not hesitate to not play if they don't have to. But all things considered, we did get a little bit of hope this week that, if things do continue trending in the right direction, they will come back with a 24-team setup where basically the top 12 teams in each conference will make the playoffs or whatever you want to call this, because I believe the NHL is actually technically saying that only the last 16 teams standing are actual Stanley Cup playoff teams. And so there's basically going to be a 16-team playoff or play-in round, play-in to make the playoffs, I guess you could say. A 16-team play-in round, the top 8 teams will get byes already into the playoffs, and then they will have basically 9 through 24 will face each other, join those 8 teams that are already in. 4 in each conference will already get byes. 12 or 8 will then battle to make it in each league to give you 12 in each conference. So I think you understand what I'm saying there. 24 teams, 12 in each conference basically are still alive. The Jackets are one of those teams. And so they are in the play-in qualifying round is what they're calling it, and they will face the Toronto Maple Leafs whenever things get back going, and it'll be a best-of-5 setup. Where that will be, when that will be, as I kind of said, it's still being figured out. But at least they know that whenever they start playing hockey again, it's Blue Jackets, Maple Leafs, and it's 5 games to continue your season.
Now, Jeff, I know you had a chance to speak with a couple of the Jackets about this. What are some of the opinions you've gathered from them about the NHL's return to action plan?
Yeah, Nick Foligno, the captain, talked in the teleconference the other day, as did General Manager Jarmo Kekalainen. So they're kind of coming at it from the executive perspective and the player perspective. And I think everyone agrees, they want to play hockey. This is what they do. This is their life. Nick Foligno talked about, if he gets a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup, it's something that he's never won, and he's been in the league for quite a while. And if the ability is there to do so and do it safely, he wants to go for it. And I think a lot of the players kind of feel the same way. Not everyone is the same because it's a large group of people. But they would love to be able to get back and do this and kind of get back to normal for them. And obviously, it's not going to be normal. There's, almost certainly not going to be fans in the stands. And they're going to be in one city for the duration of this whole thing, which is going to be a little bit different. But at the end of the day, playing hockey is their normal. And so they'd love to get back with the guys and do it. Jarmo Kekalainen kind of saying the same thing. He thinks that they put together a pretty good format to try to make this happen. But then one thing Nick did talk about quite a bit, though, is just making sure, that they can do this safely. And that's both for the communities that they're in. They don't want to take up and hog, testing, which is something that's kind of a hot-button issue as these sports leagues get back at it. And then also for the players, because they all come from, very different backgrounds. There are players who, have immune system issues, and there are players who have, celiacs or who are diabetic or things like that that will put them more at risk should this virus continue to spread. And then there are players who, have kids, and, they don't want to put their families in situations where they're going to bring home the virus. And so, the main thing is making sure they can do this safely, or at least as safely as possible, in a way that mitigates the risk as much as possible. And so, I think it can be done. We will see how it all works out, and so much depends on, how things are going in the world at large at this point. But, that's kind of the vibe, is that if we can do this the right way, let's go out and do it and see if we can bring hockey back.
We're speaking with Lorain native and Columbus Blue Jackets insider Jeff Svoboda here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Jeff, one of the other things I thought that was really interesting is that Columbus is being looked at as a potential hub city as well. What makes Columbus so attractive to the NHL as a potential hub city, and how likely do you think that is?
It'll be interesting to see how it goes. Columbus is one of the 10 cities that are left in the running. The NHL has acknowledged that. They will pick two cities to have these the playoff in whenever the time comes. And so it's interesting from a standpoint of, like, fans in Columbus seem very excited about this possibility. But, you know, it's not like they'll be able to go to the game, and the teams will be kind of cloistered in their hotels when this does happen for the most part. So for the average fan, you know, they won't necessarily likely see a ton of benefit from this whole thing. But at the same time, you know, it would be a feather in Columbus's cap if this were to happen. Columbus has really developed a very good reputation, I think, over the last probably decade or so, as being a city that can host big sporting events like this and do it well. You know, the Women's Final Four was here a couple years ago. The NHL had its All-Star game here back in 2015. Those are two kind of things that are really at the top of the list of events that Columbus has hosted sporting-wise over the last number of years. And I can speak about my friends over at the Greater Columbus Sports Commission, who usually are the people to kind of make these things happen and really help host these events. They do a phenomenal job. It's been one of the great pleasures of my career to kind of meet them and become friends with them and see how well they work. They've done so much to put the city on the map, not just nationally but internationally, with the events that come here over the years. And that doesn't even include things like the Arnold Classic, which brings in, you know, tens of thousands of people every year. So Columbus has really become a good big event city on the sporting front. And then, you know, you figure in, you've got Nationwide Arena and Ohio State Arena, which, you know, can have ice, and you've got two really high-quality venues you can host these games in. You've got, you know, some practice facilities around, you know, places where I play my games that you can utilize if teams need practice ice. So, you know, it really adds up that Columbus has everything that it's looking for, and really, you know, there's not a lot of Eastern Conference cities that are in the running here, just because those are the cities, if you look at Detroit and New York City and Washington, D.C., those are the cities that have been kind of hit hardest by this whole virus. And so those are cities that are not under consideration. So if you're looking for a place that's going to be able to host these things and do it well kind of on the eastern seaboard, and Columbus is pretty centrally located, you know, there's a lot going for Columbus from all the different anything you can really check off, Columbus checks that box. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, handicapping it, what percentage chance do I think it's going to be? You know, I've kind of heard speculation all over the board about it over the last 2 weeks, and so, you know, it would be hard for me to say, you know, if they're leaning that way or not. But if they were to end up picking Columbus, it has everything they're looking for.
As you mentioned a few moments ago, it really seems as though Columbus checks a number of those boxes. It's got just about everything, I think, that you would need. I thought it was interesting that you mentioned in there too, Jeff, that I know a lot of people in Columbus are excited about that prospective idea, but they won't exactly get to enjoy this, will they? Because, as you said, it's not like they're going to be able to actually attend these games, but it can still have some kind of an impact on the city, couldn't it?
Yeah, certainly, especially from you know, a hospitality standpoint. You know, if there were 600 teams or 600 people coming here on these teams, because they've said there'll be a travel kind of group of about 50 people, a lot of travel with these teams. So that's 600 hotel rooms right there. If you do the math, 12 teams times 500, so, or times 50. So, you know, that would certainly be good for the city. And who knows how that'll work on the restaurant front. Will these guys be able to go out in the community at all, or will they at least be able to deliver takeout or something like that? Could that help, you know, just the everyday people who are kind of struggling? You know, you look at the industries right now that are struggling, and two of those are certainly hospitality and then kind of the restaurant industry. So, you know, from that perspective, it might be nice. And, yeah, just from the fan perspective, it wouldn't necessarily mean a whole lot because, again, you, I can't imagine any scenario in which these games are going to be open to fans. Although, yeah, I guess they're 2 months away, and you can sit here and be really positive about it and hope that that might happen, because Ohio State's talking about playing football games in front of people in late August, and so maybe it'll work out. But I think that the general thought is that more than likely these games will be held in empty arenas. So, you know, the average fan, it's not like they're just going to be able to go in and watch playoff games between, you know, Alex Ovechkin and some of the top names in the league. But at the same time, yeah, there are certainly benefits to the community, and also from a standpoint of anytime you can you know, really put your community out there and put it in front of eyeballs, it's good for it. And I think it's certainly a place like Columbus that has really had to battle. You know, it's come a long way in the last 15 years or so as far as being on the consciousness of just being a city that is an up-and-coming city in America. And, you know, the Blue Jackets have helped that with, you know, bringing NHL teams in on a regular basis. But if you can kind of keep putting that, sure, it would be a pretty good thing to see. So I think that, you know, there's nothing to lose, certainly, by doing it. So I think that's why people are so excited if they can actually, you know, if they get picked and they can pull it off.
Any idea as to how soon we may see a return to action? What kinds of potential dates have you seen thrown out there that make the most sense to you?
Yeah, as of right now, the plan is starting early June, which could actually very well be next week. They're going to reopen team facilities so, you know, players can go in and practice and skate. You know, that's the crazy thing is a lot of these guys haven't even skated in 2.5 months. They've all been trying to stay in shape in the best way possible, but that has not really involved actually putting on skates and going out there. So, you know, it'll come back pretty quickly, I would have to think, for these guys. This is what they do. But it's also, it's going to take a little bit of time for them to get back out there. And, you know, that, so they, you know, on and off ice training starting, you know, potentially next week or at least some point in early June. In small groups, and so, you know, that's the next thing on the docket. Looking, you know, for like maybe mid to early July for a potential to come back and actually have training camps, which is what they're going to have to do before these teams get back out there, just to make sure that they're kind of at that competitive level that they need to be to play at the highest level, which is what they're going to be doing. And then that's when the games will start. It kind of looks like it's going to be either late July or early August. It's hard to tell at this point. You never know if any delays or anything's really going to be thrown, kind of any wrenches thrown into the equation. But it looks like, you know, if for actual hockey, late July, early August. So we've still got a ways to go here. But at the same time, you want to make sure these guys get back and are kind of at the peak of their ability so you don't see a ton of injuries and stuff. And so especially in a sport, you know, where skating is so important and it's not a particularly natural movement as compared to, you know, going out there and just putting on football cleats and running around or basketball shoes. So, you know, they want to make sure they do it right. And so that's why it's going to take a while. But, you know, at least we've got something good to talk about right now.
Well, if it's a couple of months away, I think that would give us all something to look forward to. And while end of July, early August seems like it's way off in the distant future, I'm sure that will be here before we know it. Jeff, as always, great to talk to you. We appreciate the insight and we appreciate the time, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Again, that's Jeff Svoboda, Lorain native and Columbus Blue Jackets insider.